Hello, my name is Jerry Broughton. I'm a British history professor, a broadcaster, a podcaster, and a writer of books on global history, especially about maps, including A History of the World in 12 Maps. My latest book, Four Points of the Compass, is, as the subtitle says, an unexpected history of direction. It explains the history, science, philosophy, religion, and politics of the four points, north, south, east, and west, with some pretty unexpected discoveries on the way. I'd like to share with you five of the key insights from my book. And as it's about the four points of the compass, I'm going to give you an insight into each direction, and then end with a surprising fifth insight, or what you might call a final direction, as to where we're headed. So, let's follow the five directions, from sunrise to sunset. Insight 1. The east. It's where the sun rises. Throughout human history, it's been associated with birth, beginnings, light and warmth. It's probably the first direction humanity understands, which gives it a sacredness over all other directions. Ancient polytheistic societies, like the Incas and Egyptians, worshipped the sun, and by extension, the east, as the origins of life. Judeo-Christian belief took up this reverence for the east, but instead of celebrating it as the place where the sun rose, they worshipped it as the location of creation. In the Old Testament, the Garden of Eden is located in the east. The resurrection will come from the east too. In Hebrew, Misra is the east, and the direction Jews, west of Israel, face during prayer. Christian churches are often oriented to the east, and medieval Christian maps show east at the top, Jerusalem at the centre, and the west at the bottom. Latin-speaking Christians called east the Orient, meaning the sun rising. Over the subsequent centuries, Europe created the idea of the Orient as a place to its east, which is why we talk about the Middle East and the Far East. Edward Said even wrote a book called Orientalism, explaining how the West imagined this place called the Orient. So, my first insight is, take care in labelling people and places according to a direction on a compass. Orientals are just as much a stereotype as Northerners. And I should know, I come from the north of England. Oh, and my other eastern insight? Use a compass to head off travelling east. But remember, however far you go east, you'll never start going west. Find a globe and check it out. Insight 2. The south. You can always identify south at noon, because that's when the sun is always due south. That is, at least if you're in the northern hemisphere. It's also a direction which is obviously connected to its opposite, the north. But more on that in my next insight. So, here are my two insights on the south. When the Chinese originally invented the compass in the 2nd century BCE, their needles on those compasses pointed south, not north. The Chinese word for compass is even translated as the thing that points south. And it was only centuries later, when the compass arrived in Europe, that Christian sailors put the needle pointing north, not south. But exactly why, we still don't know. What follows from that is another separate little insight that I'll give you. South will do just as well as north at the top of world maps. And if you're unconvinced by that, go and check out the Australian Stuart MacArthur's map made in 1979, called MacArthur's Universal Corrective Map of the World. It puts south at the top, and also cheekily announces, "Long live Australia." The second little insight is that nearly all classical Islamic maps put south at the top. And that's because the people that first converted to Islam in the late 7th century lived due north of Mecca. And so those people oriented themselves and their maps with Mecca up above south. And today, the South is having a resurgence. We now talk about the Global South, a term first used in 1969 to describe many countries in Asia, Africa, and Latin America. Maybe the global future lies down south. Insight 3. The North. Well, that's the most complicated of all the four directions, and brings with it my book's biggest insight, I think. Why on earth is it now at the top of nearly all our world maps? It's a question that map historians have never properly answered, and was one of the reasons that I wrote this book. Why the North triumphs is something of a mystery, as most ancient societies saw it as dark, bleak, and cold. In Hebrew, it means hidden, and it is often described as a negative place in the Old Testament. In Jeremiah, evil appeareth out of the north. And some Christian churches even contain a north-facing devil's door to allow the devil to escape. So, what changed? In the book I argue it was navigation and the fact nobody wanted to go to the North Pole. In 1569, a Flemish mapmaker called Gerard Mercator invented a new world map projection. It was designed to allow navigators to sail east to west, either side of the equator, by drawing a straight line of bearing, as the sailors amongst you will know. To do this, Mercator deliberately lengthened the parallels on his map, the closer they got to the poles. As a result, he projected the poles to infinity. And if you don't believe me, go online and take a look. He put the north at the top because by then he'd worked out that no pilot or merchant could or should go there. So the north triumphed, really by accident, because nobody wanted to go there. And the north has endured ever since. So when NASA first saw the famous blue marble photograph taken by the astronauts on board Apollo 17 in December 1972, they turned the image upside down to show north at the top. Now there is an insight. Insight 4. The West. Well, it's the most misunderstood of all the four directions. It is where the day ends, the sun sets, and night falls. As a result, ancient societies associated it with death and the underworld. It's the direction of Atlantis, Elysium, Avalon, and the Undying Lands in Tolkien's Lord of the Rings. But those associations with death and the West gave me the biggest insight into the West. There are no societies at all that I could find that ever put West at the top of their world maps. And that's so odd, really, considering how we think of the West as a political concept, as somehow at the forefront of the modern world. That led me to my secondary insight. More than any other direction, the West is associated with a geopolitical concept. We often think of Europe and North America when we speak of the Western world. I think of myself as a Westerner when I'm abroad, though I say I'm a Northerner when I'm in the United Kingdom. Can you see how changeable the directions are when it comes to identifying yourself? Actually, the political concept of the West is really quite recent. It's really a 19th century idea. And what's really fascinating is that from the very beginning of people writing about the West, they talk about how it's in decline. The German philosopher Oswald Spengler wrote his Decline of the West in 1922, and it continues to influence philosophers and politicians to this day. But in German, Untergang is literally going under, and Abendland is translated as West, also means evening land. So Spengler is almost unconsciously drawing on age-old ideas about the West as a place of sunset, death, and darkness. Is the West really in decline? Hell, well, that's a whole other question. Insight 5. The blue dot. What I've tried to do is offer you insights into all four directions, which I hope that you've found interesting. There's no fifth direction, is there? Well, for my fifth and final insight, I'm going to suggest to you that there is. And that direction is you, or rather, the blue dot on your smartphone that we use to lead us around, even if we bump into each other as we go. Between 2007 and 2008, Apple released its iPhones that came with map applications connected to the internet wherever the device was located. It led to the establishment of the blue dot that enabled the user to navigate through their current live location. It's often said we are now the last generation to know what it means to get lost, but in following the blue dot, are we somehow becoming disconnected or disoriented from the world around us? Some neuroscientists believe that as a result of surrendering our ability to navigate the space around us to our phones, we could also be reducing our mental faculties. Some neuroscientists believe that as a result of surrendering our ability to navigate the space around us to our phones, we could also be reducing our mental faculties, or at least that part of the brain which appears to drive spatial cognition. Studies have identified so-called place cells, and they are neurons in and around the hippocampus, the seahorse-shaped part of the brain located deep in the temporal lobe that is responsible for spatial learning and memory. It seems that there is evidence that the hippocampus can shrink if we don't exercise it like a muscle by using our senses to navigate and remember our routes and journeys, wherever it is that we go. So, if this is my final insight, it comes with two tips to avoid those modern feelings of disorientation. Tip one, look at the sun, feel the wind on your face, and work out east from west, north from south. Second, turn off your phone, go for a walk, and get lost. Who knows what you might find? Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoy all 4 points of the book, and even its fifth one.